From Mark's Gospel, the 9th chapter, I'll begin with the 2nd verse. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make 3 dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Trey, for reading and being helpful today. We really appreciate our readers. I was told this morning by Abe, who helps usher at the 8:30 service. He says, "I don't need to stay for your sermon because I know what it's going to be about. It says, 'Can't we stay?' And I know you're going to talk about you and Pastor Mary going to Birmingham and seeing that granddaughter of yours. And the very first thing you were going to say is, 'Can't we stay?'" And I said, "Abe, you are smarter than I. I should have used that lesson right there." So we give Abe the credit for reading the title and thinking about a time about "Can't We Stay?" Well, before we begin, will you turn to your neighbor and say, "God loves you." Aren't we thankful that God loves us? Before we also begin, we do want to pray for those who aren't feeling well, and keep that in mind. It's a very, very difficult time of year with that. Well, this transfiguration story is a very interesting story. It's a long word to begin with, isn't it? Transfiguration. And this story, we have a lot of elements in it. There's a lot of miracles and happenings. The account talks about visions and prophets. And this miraculous event, I believe, really boggles our mind. It really is intriguing to us and our senses and our belief. And as a lot of pastors would say, this would preach a month of Sundays, because you could take a piece of peace and a piece, and you could talk a lot of things. When I rode here today in the fog, there was a preaching of the sermon, and the one thing it said is, keep Christ in focus. That's something we could preach about too, couldn't we? But today, we're going to talk about, can't we stay? Can we stay where we are? Do we have to move? Do we have to leave the place we are? But in the midst of this story today, we see a lot of things divine. We see this wonderful triune God talking about that God is encompassing all things, that God is the God of the past and the present and the future. You know, it's interesting, that's how good and big God is. You know, God, we can say, "God, please help me now," and we do that. That's important. But God has helped us in the past, hasn't he? And God will help us in the future. Do I hear an amen? So this idea about God being present in all times and all places, we see this on the story of the Transfiguration. Because we see Jesus, the Word, the one who was sent, he is in the midst of the prophets, the one who talked about the one coming. And Jesus also prophesied about the future, about things to come. So this idea about God, about being God of the past, present, and future is very important. But we also see in this story about our humanness, our humanity, fear and doubt, unbelief and uncertainty. We also have a lot of questions about this event. Do you think you would have been scared if you'd have been on the mountaintop? I know I would have been frightened. Some of you might have said, what kind of bleach did you use to make that so bright? It said, I love how the description is, it was brighter than any bleach could do, any bleach could make. So this was a powerful moment, but also this moment is where we see the disciples a bit out of place. Simon Peter was there, and Simon Peter had a response that was very interesting. You see, Simon Peter was the one who usually acted bravely and boldly. He spoke first and thought later. Simon Peter was the one who swung the sword when he was protecting Christ at his time of capture. Simon Peter was the one who spoke first about who the Messiah was. But now, Simon Peter at this moment, during the Transfiguration, he had a very different experience, it seems. His words seemed to baffle us and confuse us because Peter said to Jesus these words, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Now, the Bible comment says, he said this because he did not know what to say. Have any of you said something when you did not know what to say? Well, they're saying Peter did not have a clue what to say. I believe he was frightened. I believe we would have been frightened. I believe we would not understand what was going on. But I believe, too, that in the midst of this confusion and bewilderment and uncertainty, we can find something very important about what Peter says. You see, the story of the Transfiguration is telling us that God is in the midst of our lives, in the midst of ordinary human beings like you and me. And what Peter said, I believe in my heart that he knew exactly what he was saying. Because Peter says, let's build three booths. Let's just stop for a moment. Let's just not go any further. Let's build something so we can just put you in it. Let's put Moses here and Elijah here. And Jesus, you stay here because I don't want to leave this mountaintop. I don't want to go any further. I don't want to go down the valley. Because Peter knew that Jesus was sent by God to do his will. And I believe Peter understood very clearly that once they go down this mountaintop, they're heading to Jerusalem. And that's where he would die. So Simon Peter says, let's just set up tent. Let's put in stakes. Let's not go to places that we're not uncertain about, or certainly we don't want to leave this experience. You see, Peter knew that this mountaintop experience was wonderful, and that God was present, and that things were good, and it's perfectly okay just not to move. But things don't work out that way, do they? Life just moves, doesn't it? Have you ever had a great experience one day and you go, wow, this is awesome? And then it seems like the very next moment something happens. Now, some are fearful. They say, well, I don't want to get up because I know I'm going to get down again. I don't think we should live our life that way, but we do know that there's mountains and valleys in all that we do. And I believe Peter was saying, let's just stay here. But actually what happened was They knew that Jesus needed to move, that Jesus needed to go, that God's will was not done, and that God's will needed to be accomplished. You know, there's a message that Jesus had to deliver, and in order to deliver that, he needed to move from the mountain to go into the midst of the valley. But you know, it's very tempting to stay on the mountaintop, because we know what we're receiving and believing in the mountaintop, but there's still more people to help, aren't there? There are more needs there. Well, my mountaintop experience is actually rather odd. Do you want to hear my mountaintop experience? This is where you wake up or say, yeah, sure, or yeah, let's get on with it. But I want to tell you about my mountaintop experience. Years ago, we had a meeting at church, and one of the ladies said, let's take our vacation Bible school on the road. Let's pack up and move to a school in the poorest part of town, and let's do vacation Bible school there for a week. And I said, I don't like to work that hard. It's just fine. Let's just do it right here. Let them come to us. And she said, you know, they're not going to be able to come to us because they don't have transportation. And they're not going to be able to come to us because it's a poor place. And she said, let's have it during the day. So we took a vote. Guess who lost? Then she had this great idea. You want to hear this great idea? Okay, I've heard three people. That's a quorum. Very good. The great idea was, she said, let's feed them lunch. Guess what I said? Feed them lunch? How are we going to feed them lunch? Are you kidding me? We have no idea how many kids are coming. So let's feed them lunch. So we took a vote. Guess who lost? Yes. Now, does this sound like a mountaintop experience so far? We're getting there. We're getting there. Hang on. So we packed up materials and crafts and games and glue and glitter. VBS has to have two things. Glue and glitter. You got to have those two. So we packed all the stuff up. We packed vans up. We even hired a trailer, and we packed everything up, and we moved down to the poorest part in town into a rented, and the school gave it to us for zero charge. Do I hear a hallelujah on that? So we had the very first day of vacation Bible school, and we had 60 kids. And along came lunch. I called the church up, and there was someone cooking at the church. I said, bring every hot dog that you got, because we're going to need it. We were having hot dogs the first day. Do I hear a hallelujah on hot dogs? So we had all these kids eating lunch. And there was one boy who ate his first hot dog. He said, can I have another one? I said, we need to feed them another hot dog. If the kids are hungry, let's feed them. Well, do you think that's a good idea? So he ate two, and then he had three. And then someone said, do we keep feeding them? I said, if they're hungry, we need to feed them. So on his sixth hot dog, he said, I'm full. But let me tell you about the miracle. This is the miracle that happened. We had 60 kids there, and we didn't run out of food. Do I hear a hallelujah? I said, I didn't hear a hallelujah. That's a hallelujah. That was a feeding of the 5,000, I'm telling you. Just a little. And the other miracle, the other mountaintop experience, is that grumpy people that complained about everything. Do you know those people that complain about everything? Don't point. Please don't point. But there was people that complained all the time that said, I would like to give up my lunch. I had teenagers, you know how teenagers eat? Do I hear an amen? That will eat anything if it's not stapled down. They gave up their lunch so the kids could eat. I had people giving up their lunch and not one person complained. Do I hear an amen? It was a miracle. So the word got out that we were feeding lunch. Guess how many people we had by the end of the week? We had 80 kids by the end of the week. And every day we never ran out of food. And we had enough money to pay for all the lunches. I think God deserves a hand clap there. And you know, as tired as I was, as worn as I was, I just said on that Friday, I am so glad that I thought of this idea to come to VBS to this. Actually, what I said is, can we do it another week? Could we possibly do it one more week? Because what I saw on that mountaintop experience was a miracle, and hungry kids were fed. It was one of the best experiences I've ever had in my life. But friends, what God whispered to me is there are other hungry people. There are other needs. But it's time to move. It's time to go. So friends, what I learned on that mountaintop experience is that on the mountaintop is not the only place you can find Christ. It's in the valleys. It's in the tough times. It's in the good times. It's in the hard times. God is with you. And Jesus wants you to share the love of Christ with others. That hope needs to be offered wherever we go. And friends, yes, it's easier to be on the mountaintop, but we need to know that there's work to be done. Friends, the truth is that there's more to do. The truth is that God will go with us when we go. So may we praise the Lord for mountaintop experiences, and may we thank Him for the hallelujahs and the hot dogs, because God is good. Let's pray. Loving God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity to serve you. And thank you for helping us serve others. Lord, bless us and keep us. And may we be instruments for your kingdom. We ask this in Christ's name, and all God's children said, amen.